Me to somebody asked me to record tonight so they could listen to it because they're gone. So that's why I'm up here. I would prefer to be down there, but if they wanted to hear it, then we can record it a lot easier from the pulpit than down on the floor. So that's why I'm up here today. All right, let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. We pray that you would be with us. God, help us to hear your word, help us to apply your word, and help us to live out your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Thursday I wanted to do a lot more teaching and practical explanation on how the word of God enters into our church and works in our church. And we discovered that it works through the Holy Spirit, that the word of God would work through the power of the Holy Spirit as we try to implement and to live according to his dictates, as we see in the word of God. And also we'll get even deeper into this on Sunday, just how it's working out. We're looking at our identity and our identity in Christ and how that works in the New Testament local church. So we see that there's a remarkable evidence of the power of the Word of God. It enlightens us. And tonight we'll revisit 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Here we read, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." So here we see a threefold evidence of their identity being worked out in the local assembly that God had called them to. Okay? So Christianity, the main part of Christianity is that it would be worked out in a tangible, evident way. Now, what we first see is that there was this work of faith. Of course, well, let me start here. What would you, some of you men, think, since everybody's gone, there's not many people here. What do you think work of faith means? What does that look like? What faith, does faith need to have works? How many agree, say aye, that faith needs to have works? Yes, faith needs to have works. Works of faith are deeds or actions that manifest as a result of one's faith. Faith in this context refers to the appropriating what God in Christ has for humanity and recognizing its transformative power over our deeds and actions. It signifies more than mere intellectual assent. It penetrates the very fibers of us as Christians. So, does God give us opportunity to see what we believe in manifest itself in our everyday? How could we see our faith work in everyday experiences? Right? How would that happen? So let's think. Should we be dealing with things in the same manner as people that aren't of the faith? When pressures and trials and heartaches come, there should be something within a Christian that helps them work through that, correct? How many of us sometimes are not very receptive towards that working in our lives? Can we identify when times of reception might be low? Think of driving a car, and if you've ever been driving a car, you'll pick up a radio station if you're on a long journey, that you'll get into something that's really interesting on the radio station. And if it's a local radio station within, 50 miles or 50 kilometers or 100 kilometers, the reception of your radio no longer picks up what's being played, correct? Or what you're listening to. What's some things that can, let's say, weaken the sense of our receptors towards the working of our faith in our lives? Can pressures do that at work? Yeah. When you're going through pressures at work, what is your means to keep that connection strong, that connection to hear how your faith is working out in your life? And we're going to get into this and define what that faith, or the works of faith, and how it is defined and described and how it is available to us. But we need to understand that there is certain times in our life, there's certain things that happen to us psychologically, physiologically, that weaken the tangible evidence of those receptors towards that faith work in our life. Anger can do that, right? Frustration can do that. Bad thinking, immoral thoughts, all those things, entertainment to a degree, can weaken the receptors of our understanding of that faith working. So what is happening here? The faith is supposed to encompass our minds, will, and emotions. The comprehensive reach of the faith translates a person from bondage to Satan to a life under the lordship of Christ. So before you were saved, you were totally in bondage to Satan, but the working of faith, what happened? It released you from that bondage and placed you into being under Christ. So what happens? The outpouring of God's grace is made evident through the work of faith. For surely faith produces fruit unto righteousness, demonstrating the depth and authenticity of one's belief, or the authenticity of one's belief. This fruitlessness is not a passive, this fruit bearing is not a passive occurrence, but an act of visible manifestation of God's grace working within and through us. Indeed, a true work of faith is a testimony of the transformative power of Christ in the individual's life, reshaping actions, thoughts, and motives to align with the divine will. So what is our faith supposed to produce? Well, our faith is supposed to produce action, right? Is your faith producing action in your life? Is your faith making a difference in how you proceed in life? What's some new desires that you gained since you received this work of faith in your life? What's that? So an understanding, we're going to get to that in just a second. An understanding. Yes, an understanding of the scriptures, right? An understanding of there's something behind this life besides just the physical world that we live in. There's something deeper than just the physical. There's a spiritual component to life now after that work of faith had its work in your life. So, can anybody else think of some differences the work of faith has made in your life? You know, we sing that song, "The Things I Used to Do, I Don't Do Them Anymore." There's been a great change since I've been born again. Difference that much, but there should be an identified difference before a life before Christ, before faith's work, and a life after faith's work, correct? There should be a difference. Can you identify those differences? Can you identify some ways that faith has its work and outpours itself into your daily lives? This is what we're talking about today. This is what we want to think on. This is what we want to meditate on. What difference does faith make in your life? James 2:26. Here it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so then faith without works dead also." So, if the spirit leaves the body, what does the body become? Well, it becomes a cadaver, right? It is fit for the coffin. It is fit for the ground. That is all it's fit for. Why? Because it's dead. In the same way, if your faith does not produce works, what type of faith is it? Is it a living faith? Or is it a dead faith? Well, it's a dead faith. The previous passages give us two examples of faith that was alive. Okay? One of the examples is Abraham, and it goes back to Genesis 22, and it talks about how he was willing, because he had such faith, to obey God to the point of even being willing to sacrifice his only son Isaac because of his faith. Now, he was saved without works, was he not? Impregnate Sarah, and she gave birth, even though they both were beyond the age of being able to have children. Right? And what does it say in Romans chapter 4? Was he justified by faith or by works? By faith. Okay? So that justification and the just declaration of God telling him that he was no longer a sinner, that was not done because of his works. It was done because of his faith. Now, faith comes in. It does a transformational act in him and gives him the ability, though he were dead, to bring forth life, right? What else happens? Well, God tests that faith. And how does God prove that that faith is reality? He proves that faith by giving Abraham a test, a proof, if it were. And what was the proof? Well, the proof was that that faith was real, that he would be willing to obey God's direction for him to sacrifice his son. How many of you have ever seen God allow a test into your life, and through the test, that proved that your faith was real, that there was a work in your faith? Right. What are some things that God allows in our life, even though we haven't sinned, that allows us to see the proof of work, the faith that works, or a faith that we have that proves itself in situations? What might that look like? On the job site, in the home, God allows certain things to happen to us that would hurt our fleshly bodies. He allows it to happen, sometimes out of our control. How does our faith work in those situations? Can you guys think of any testimonies or recall back to when you said, wow, this is a true faith. This faith brought me through. This faith did its work in this specific instance in my life. You know, we need to learn how to share these more often, where God gets the glory. We're not bragging on ourselves, but we're telling others about this work, this faith that works. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to say here? There should be a faith that works in your life. And it should be evident. This is a really good place for faith to work. There needs to be some proof. There needs to be some love. There needs to be some guidance that comes forth in our faith. Another example is Rahab the harlot. In James chapter 2, verse 25, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" So what did Rahab do? You remember the spies come in and they spy the land. And what did Rahab do for the spies? She what? She hid them. She hid them. And then, remember, she basically said, hey, your God is a true God, and we can't fight against your God. So when you come in to conquer the land, please make sure that I'm protected because I'm trusting in your God to protect me. So she hid the spies at great cost to herself and let the spies escape and told them to go on another route on the way home. And then when they came in and Jericho was destroyed, her house stood because of her what? Her faith. And what did her faith produce? Her faith produced works. So, how can we tell when experience or a proclamation of salvation is not true? How can we tell? Well, obviously we can't tell, but what's some signs to kind of point out that this faith probably isn't a real faith? What does faith always accompany? Or what does always accompany faith? Works. If it's true faith, what will always come after true faith? Always. As we reflect on the Thessalonians' work of faith, it becomes clear that their actions were a natural outflow of their profound belief in Christ. The faith was not an abstract concept, but a tangible reality that influenced their daily lives and interactions. By the way, we'll look at later, you know what their faith and the working of their faith brought to them at times? Persecution and tribulation. Just because you live according to faith doesn't mean that, or just because your faith does its work in your life, doesn't mean that everything will be sunshine and roses. There is a work of faith in an individual's life. The Thessalonians' faith, like that of Rahab, was validity because of their works. It showcased the transformative power of true faith in God. Man, faith works. You notice I didn't say that the individual has its works. I'm saying that faith has its work in the individual. Living and vibrant faith has some things that are associate to its reality. One work of faith is, guess what? Knowledge. Now, knowledge means what we understand in the position of being the children of God. We don't understand this intuitively, but only through the means of the work of grace. Because of this amazing change, our understanding has been divinely influenced to give us sight to that, to what we were blind to before. The regeneration process took place, specifically how we fit in God's eternal plan, being elected by Him. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. When you were elected of God, you were elected to have a faith that works. Now, there's a huge argument on, like, total election, like people. Now, what we're not going to do is we're not going to say that the sovereignty of God doesn't exist, and we're not going to say that the will of man doesn't exist. They exist together. But if a man is convicted by the Holy Spirit and turns from their selves and confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord and believes that God the Father has raised him from the dead, they'll have eternal life. But what accompanies that in the new birth is a faith that works. And how does it work? It gives them knowledge. It gives them something that their flesh couldn't produce before. It gives them something that's beyond the flesh. Reality. First, by affirming a difference in wisdom or knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. In verse number 8. Well, 6. Starting 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, or those that are complete. Yet not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of the world that came to naught. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The clear difference between the wisdom of God and the natural wisdom or the wisdom of man is natural wisdom is temporal and it doesn't understand eternal things. For if the demonic rulers or the earthly rulers did have wisdom and true wisdom and true knowledge, they would not have crucified Christ. Am I saying here? Man, faith. What does faith give us? It gives us true knowledge. It gives us the ability. Faith's work gives us the ability to see past the temporal, to see God's eternal plan. So how should that affect our lives? If faith, true faith, is having its work and it's helping us see past the temporal, how would that cause us to have a difference in our daily decisions? Would we constantly be basing all our decisions on temporal needs? Or will we be able at times to have wisdom to know how to apply or submit to the faith that's working in us from our Christianity to God's way instead of our way? I'm just going to be very upfront with you tonight. I don't think that this work of faith is evident as it should be in my life. And men, we need to be encouraging ourselves to submit to this work of faith because we're Christians. We should not be having the same mindset, making the same decisions that we did before we were saved. Why? Why is our decision so flesh-filled at times? When we have this great grace called the work of faith in our lives. Why do we act like we are so immature and have no knowledge? And some of you Christians that lived for a long time, when can you identify? You've been alive for a long time. Can you identify the times that were hard for you to be led and to submit to that work of faith in your lives? What did it look like? Was it times of great physical trial? Like, if we can identify these times, then we can know what to look out for. Was it times when you were going through financial tribulation? Is it times when you're not giving in to your spiritual need for growing and growth? Let's actually go to Isaiah chapter 64, because this is where verse 9 is taken out of. And I find this to be a fascinating passage into this, into deeper understanding of this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 64. Verse Some people would like somebody to tell them how to live the Christian life. And if they can just follow these do's and don'ts, then they'll be okay. But that is not the work of faith. Let me prove this to you. Look at verse 4. For since the beginning of the world, men, O God, besides thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. So what is this saying? This verse acknowledges that man's reality comes in the middle of that. So what is happening? Man's reality, here's a calling out of the prophet to return in judgment. So the prophet's calling out to God. He's saying, God, will you return in judgment against the wicked that are coming against Israel? Will you remember past realities in Israel histories to God bringing mercy and protecting to those that waited on him? That's what he's saying. He's saying, look, we didn't know what was going to happen in the middle. Do you think the people of Israel knew everything that God would do in sending the 10 plagues and delivering them from Egypt, from bringing this no-name nation into the superpower of the world, to giving them the most righteous, wisest king, most righteous in David, wisest in Solomon, king that mankind had ever known? If you looked at the beginning of Israel, and if you had a natural mind, you would say there's no way that God could work through these people. But what happened? As the people of God waited on him, his plan was worked through in them. In the same way, we that wait, that trust, that submit to God's work of faith in our life, see its fruits in our life. Awesome sovereign management of redemption's work. The natural man could never come up with a savior giving the sinner salvation through the method of crucifixion. The natural man, even in all his self-righteousness, could never comprehend the love of God or the righteousness of God. We could comprehend the goodness because we never could understand God's plan by ourselves. So, listen, this is why it's so dangerous for a Christian to operate in flesh mind instead of faith's work. Miss seeing God. I'm not saying this in a spooky way. What I'm saying is we miss the reality of that faith working out in our lives and seeing the hand of God in our lives and directing our lives. We miss it when we live by the flesh. And it's very sad that we could be a Christian all our life and very few times see the directive hand of God in our life. Why? Because we depended on our man's wisdom, flesh wisdom, instead of depending on God's wisdom. Now, this is never accomplished by our self-righteousness. Look at verses 5 and 6 of the same chapter. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those in continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So one of the fights that we have in reaching that true, tangible evidence of the faith of God working in our lives is that we depend on our self-righteousness. If I just can do this, then God has to do that. Well, I'm doing much better than this person, so why hasn't God dealt with me in the same way, because you're not working through faith, or you're not allowing to submit yourself for faith's work to have its evidence in your life. You're depending on self. And this is the struggle in our Christian life, and this is the struggle in church life, and this is the struggle until we get our glorified bodies. We always want to depend on who? One of the biggest ways that we can show that we're depending on self. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Okay, so with that thought in mind, what's one of the biggest evidences of us working through fleshly knowledge instead of faith knowledge and submitting to that faith knowledge? We don't do what? We don't pray. We don't seek God's help. Are you seeking God's help today? Well, I've been saved for 40 plus years, Pastor. What do I need God's help for? Now, we would never say that, right? But don't we need a fresh evidence of faith work in our life on a daily basis? How many of you have ever gone a couple days without seeing your faith work? Not submitting to the reality of your faith working. Wisdom and knowledge to know how to answer things. Not depending on God enough to open up your Bible and study the Word of God and say, God, I don't see it right now, but I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to submit to you. And I know by submitting to you, I'm submitting to that faith that works. I have a deeper knowledge, not because of who I am, but because of the grace that has been extended to me in faith. What am I trying to say? Faith needs to work in us men. It needs to do its work, and it's only going to be evident as we surrender to it. The revealer of the knowledge is God. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. So we don't comprehend the works of God. That isn't something that we naturally do in our own mind. But when we get saved, we have this faith that works in our lives. And how is faith's work communicated to us? Through knowledge. How are we able, as mere flesh, to know that faith is doing its work and it's time for us to submit? Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his, what? What class? His what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. We can understand God's method of redemption because the Spirit of God revealed to us God's purpose in redemption. The Spirit of God investigates all things, for he is able to understand all things, the deepest and profoundest things of God. Why? Because he's who? Who is the Spirit? What is he in his character? He's who? He's God. So I can see faith that has been given and has been created, faith work, has been created by God for me to submit to. How can I know when I'm supposed to submit to it, class? Because I have who living in me? The what of God? The Spirit of God. So I can understand God's knowledge, God's direction, what God's work of faith that is having its work in my life, and I can submit to that as I spend time listening and surrendering to the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the next verse that I find amazing. Since we have been, now, we have an amazing illustration of this statement in 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. No one can know perfectly what an individual is thinking except the inner rationality thinking of that individual. You can't know what I'm thinking at all times. Only I can know what I'm thinking, and I have to give that evidence up to you. Now, we're giving a lot of our evidence up for comfort. in technology, but that's neither here nor there. What I am saying is that the reason the Holy Spirit can explain God to us is because He is God. And the reason that we need the Holy Spirit to be in total control of what we do, to be subject to that faith work, is because we don't have the wisdom in ourselves to know how faith works. We don't have the wisdom to identify the works of faith in our life without the Spirit showing us. We are so in the flesh easily deceived. Battle for us, men. The battle is, do we want to be husbands? Do we want to be fathers? Do we want to be mature men in the church? Do we want to be young men in the church that are given over to submitting to the Spirit so that we might understand and submit to the works of faith? Or faith works in our lives. Since we have been given the Spirit of God, and since He is God, we can be given knowledge to God's benefits that have been made available to us by the work of faith. 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's faith works. That's not, okay, works of faith are not something that we produce in and of ourselves. They are something that God produces in us, and we submit to them. What man would trust God so much in his natural mind to be willing to sacrifice his own son? I'm telling you, a man in whom the Holy Spirit has had His powerful work on is a man that would do that. What type of man in his natural mind would leave everything to go to and preach the gospel to people that don't even want to hear it? What type of man will do that? A man that's given over to the leading and direction of the Spirit of God. And through that direction of the Spirit of God, what happens? The work of faith is made evident and tangible in his life. Do you have work? Are you submitting to the Spirit so you can see the work of faith in your life? The primary application of this verse is to be understood in the giving of scriptures. It is clearly a divinely inspired book. Verse 13, which things also we speak not in word which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the primary application of this verse is to be understood in the giving of the scripture. It is clearly a divinely inspired book. Worldly men can produce worldly, fleshly inspired stories, speeches, and entertainment, but only the Holy Ghost can produce in man divinely inspired truth and knowledge. Is that not a work of faith? Or face work. But if you're filling yourselves up with worldly knowledge, you're not going to see that. That's not going to be a tangible evidence in your life, Christian. Only the Holy Ghost can give a true understanding into divine enlightenment. We are not talking about some hidden Gnostic knowledge that we can only experience through some out-of-body experience that we work up in some kind of mystical experiences. No, we are talking about the working of our faith, our position in Christ, our position in the Holy Spirit, and how He opens our mind to understand godly wisdom because of His grace. That is the work of faith. Many scholars say that verse 13 is one of the most powerful passages for the inspiration of Scripture. Man's wisdom didn't create inspired scripture, but the Holy Spirit taught man what to say, and man wrote what they were taught by the Holy Spirit. We are given spiritual truth through the Holy Spirit's given word. The work of faith enables us to receive divine, revealed, and inspired knowledge. Look at verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 2. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God, of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So we need the Holy Spirit's wisdom and counsel in order to be able to understand Scripture. The Scripture is to be spiritually understood. In other words, what am I saying here? You can't understand the Scripture without what? The Spirit. Is that not another work of faith? Or faith work? Our ability to understand the Scripture is because our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that has given us the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying here? Man, faith that works produces true knowledge. So, thinking about this, work of faith. What are works of faith? They're actions that are results from one's faith. Why? Because it reflects, those actions reflect a transformation in mind, will, and emotions due to the influences of God's grace. So, here's a question. There's no faith. Is that a fair statement? I'm looking, you guys can disagree with me or agree. I'm looking for anything. Would you all agree that that's a fair statement? If there's no works, there's no faith. Fair statement? Okay. True faith actively manifests into righteous deeds, showcasing the depth and authenticity of a belief. Is that true? If we want to see the authenticity of our faith, it should produce fruit, should it not? I mean, it's our faith that's at work, not our self-righteousness. Knowledge, result of divine grace, allowing believers to understand their place in God's eternal plan. Is that a work of faith? I would say, right? How many of you feel that way in your flesh, that you're part of God's eternal plan? How many of you would like us to talk about how wicked our flesh is? Would any of you like to talk about that? Probably not, right? We shouldn't talk about it, right? How we fit into God's plan is something that can only be received through the work of what? Can only be received by the work of faith. The wisdom of God revealed through the Holy Spirit surpasses natural wisdom. We cannot comprehend God's redemptive plan without the work of faith made evident by the what? Work of the Spirit in our life. Finally, the Holy Spirit is the connector. He connects us to the reality of faith work in our life. The Holy Spirit is what enables to help us see spiritual truth instead of worldly wisdom. So, my question to you, how important is the work of the Spirit in your life so you can see the work of faith in your life? I guess this is a lifelong goal for all Christians, to meet more and more filled with the Spirit. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I thought I received the Spirit at my salvation. You did. But you know what else He wants to do And you know what else he links you to? He links his work and the tangibility of his work manifesting in your life to your surrender to him. And it's Paul's prayer. We're going to talk about this on Sunday. It's Paul's prayer that we would be filled with the wisdom and knowledge of our position that God has given to us from eternity past because we have chosen him and he has chosen us. What does that mean? He's chosen us to be his adopted children because we've gone to him through grace, not works. What does that mean? That means he has a special place for us and he does a special work in us. And that work is a work of faith. And that work is a work that we don't see with our natural minds and our natural abilities. And we're not going to be able to get a sheet of paper out and we're not going to be able to define it in physical terms. But God makes a difference in our physical lives because he does what? He does his work of faith in us. And we surrender to it by the direction of the Holy Spirit. I don't like to say that this work of faith is gained by our work. For what is our work worth? Really nothing. But God's work is worth everything. To see the tangible evidence of the work of faith in our life as we surrender to God's Spirit in our life so that we might have knowledge of how he works. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. God, just use this sermon as you see fit to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.